DJ, drop a beat.
Not another podcast.
Not another podcast.
Not another podcast.
What the hell is wrong with you people?
Not another podcast.
All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
James.
I am sick and tired of everyone telling me I'm confused.
Bryce.
We're reckless, arrogant, stupid dicks.
Big Jim.
Wubble up a dub dub. That's my catchphrase, remember?
Samantha.
I have one job on this lousy ship. It's stupid, but I'm gonna do it, okay?
Dan.
I don't know who you are, but I have a very particular lack of skills. I will never be able to find you.
Not another podcast.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the first ever Not Another Podcast presidential election. I am James Robinson. Tonight, three candidates will take our stage to lay out their plans for this great nation, and I will be your moderator for the debate. To start, each candidate will be given 5 minutes in which to lay out their general plan for their administration.
James, I just want to cut you off right there. Questions. I just want to cut you off right there. I need you to understand that where I'm coming from, the points are very...
Thank goodness we had these mute buttons installed.
Damn it, if it was...
Will you shut up, man?
Oh, man, I wish that was there.
At this time, I would like to introduce our candidates. From left to right, Samantha Stark, Jim Willig, and finally, Danny Hedham. Thank you all for your participation. For this broadcast,
the candidates
competed in a round of Uno, followed by a winner-take-all game of checkers to determine who would be allowed to present first. I am honored to announce that after an exhaustive investigation to rule out any sort of foreign involvement and prevent any sort of performance fraud, Jim Willig will be our first presenter. Mr. Willig, you now have 5 minutes to lay out your plan starting now.
Thank you very much, esteemed moderator Robinson. I appreciate all the work that you do, not only for this debate, but also your work in the firefighters' calendar, Mr. July, I believe you were. Breathtaking, thoroughly breathtaking. Anyway, my point is this. My fellow Americans, I come to you today as a candidate for your vote. My vice president, I've already selected. He has already agreed. Mr. Bill Murray will be my number two. We'll be running on the It Just Doesn't Matter platform. To the basis of the day, taxes and the economy. We're going to make it so that the wealthiest 20% pay 80% of taxes. Essentially, if you have a boat, I shouldn't need coupons to buy fish sticks, okay? Let's go ahead and just level the playing field there. Also, if you lose on a game show, you must pay those winnings back. All right. Also, side note, any wealthy member of the higher echelon, the wealthy that are unwilling to pay this new tax hike will have an option to, if they don't wish to pay, they will be forced to live in the same apartment complex that James lives in while James gets to enjoy your luxurious accoutrement until you are willing to meet with our demands. Healthcare. First point, very important point to me. Not only as a politician, but also as just a carbon-based life form. I will make the McRib a full-time item on the McDonald's menu. That's right. This is my direct pandering to the Midwest states. I know what you've wanted for a number of years. You've hungered not just for equality, but for a solid, rugged sandwich that can fill you up during your lunch break. Also, if you price gouge on prescription costs, you'll be infected with a specialized disease, which I'm currently creating, wherein the antidote must be administered each day by someone who is dependent upon the drug you attempted to price gouge with. So fuck with us, we'll fuck with you. If your job is in bettering the country, i.e. the military, healthcare, education, automatic best healthcare that money can buy for life, for you and for your family. Also, elected officials will have their service changed once a year during an open enrollment, and their benefits will be either increased or decreased, decided upon by a council of the sick and the disabled. The sick and disabled are basically lying around anyway. Why not have them file a little bit of paperwork? Also, keeps them busy. Education. This kind of goes along with healthcare. Much like a driver's license, you will now be required to pass a basic intelligence test in order to procreate. Essentially, the test consists of one question. You have to be able to spell procreate in order to procreate. Second point on education. I'm appointing LeVar Burton as Secretary of Education. In the words of the immortal Samuel L. Jackson, this motherfucker can make anyone want to read. I have to agree. In schools, we will stop sugarcoating history. We will tell kids the truth, give honor to real heroes, and hold people accountable for their actions, not just good, but also for the bad. Civil rights. Obviously, going along with education, smarter kids grow into intelligent adults, but empathy needs to be taught at home. We have to be brave enough to look at ourselves and our beliefs and really take stock of where we have fallen short. Find the hate that we have been handed down to us and find a way to let it go. If not hate, then our inaction or failure to make more of an effort to bring about real change in this world, aside from being, say, a Facebook protester. Hold the police accountable for their actions while also removing the elements of their job, i.e. mental health, family services, from that sphere of responsibility. I want the cops to be heroes again. I want them to be the good guys and not be looked at as basically thugs who are above the law. As well, in closing, I'll say this. My first day in office, I will be appointing the Honorable Judge Mathis, Gregory Mathis, excuse me, and from the People's Court, Judge Marilyn Mullion to the Supreme Court. He is from Detroit, and she is a circuit judge from Florida. Tell me if they can't get shit
Jim,
done.
Jim, I'm sorry to cut you off, but your time is up.
All right.
Thank
that
you
was
so
the,
much
my final point,
for your presentation.
So thank you very much. I appreciate the time.
We now turn to Samantha. Samantha Stark, you now have 5 minutes starting now.
Well, hi, y'all. Sorry, I had to leave for a second so I can go get dinner out of the oven because that is my role in the house. Should no one say ever, because fuck that. Okay. So, hello. My name is Samantha, candidate for president of Not Another Podcast. And, Let's dive right in. Starting with the economy, some things that I would love to see is a uptick in the support of online-based businesses and creative-based businesses, because that is what's going to keep our economy growing. Creative companies and creative job careers are something that cannot be automated. We will always need people for, and there will always be a demand for it. So I think small companies, small businesses, self-employed, e-commerce, all of those things should be much more supported. So that's for that. Keep everyone running. Taxes. I am for raising some taxes on the upper 1% of the upper class, who hold a large majority of our nation's wealth, and raise them up a little bit and lower taxes for the middle class and lower class folks. So there's more of an even playing field when it comes to taxes across the board. I had something else for that. Now I blanked on it. Shit. Okay. Anyway, healthcare. you can tell that I'm super prepared. So healthcare is something that is a right. I fully do believe healthcare is a right. It is not something that only wealthy people should be able to afford good healthcare. And I believe that there should be an option if you would like to opt in to employer health care, that you might have a little more benefits, or if you'd like to opt into a healthcare system that would be free for our general public. So you would have that option to pay more, or to pay more for certain types of healthcare insurance, or if you want to stick with more like, oh shit, what's it called? I'm just watching Jim put food into his mouth. I know we need healthcare.
It's all part of my plan.
Speaking of healthcare.
So going along with something with healthcare is a lot more education around taking care of your body, what to, you know, because that reminds me to types of food to eat, types of activities. So maybe some more emphasis on homegrown, more emphasis on gardens, more emphasis on exercise, more emphasis on getting up and moving around, less sloth-like behavior that'll help your health immensely and will help our healthcare system as well. All right, so moving on to education. I do support Senator Willig's idea of updating and upgrading our history books. That was something that I'm very passionate about, is having our history accurately portrayed for good, bad, and indifferent, because we all know that if you ignore history, you're bound to repeat it. So we need to learn from our past mistakes and grow from them as a society and as a culture and move forward. I also think that will create a lot of jobs. Maybe we should have new, and this could also be done remotely, so you don't have to be in one spot to do this, but history teachers and historians should be fact-checking, upgrading history books, keeping them current. So that could also create a lot of jobs right there, helping the economy as well. And then moving on to civil rights, there is a lot about immigration that I feel very passionately about this. Actually, I was speaking with one of my assistants about this, the bearded, long-haired one that lives in this house too. My twin sister.
His own damn dinner.
So, when it comes to immigration,
I'm sorry, Candidate Stark, your time is up.
Oh, that goes by fast.
Thank you so much. We now turn to Candidate Danny Hedham. Danny Hedham, your time starts now.
All right. My name, as you know, is Danny Hedham. I'll be running for president of apparently not another podcast, not the president of the fan club, as that seat is already incumbent. My running mate shall be Bill Nye.
We will be holding debates for that next week.
So, my plan for the economy is simply this. We need to stop becoming a country of credit-run operations. One of the things that made this country somewhere that you wanted to be was if you worked for a couple of months and saved part of your check the best you could go out and buy a brand new car with what you had saved. Nowadays, there is no way around it. You have to get a credit line because, let's face it, nobody I know has $27,000 sitting in their back pocket. And if they do, well, then they have a really, really good job that probably doesn't happen for most. So what I would do is I would try to move us away from credit-based things, which means that if it's made domestically, it's cheaper to sell and cheaper to make by definition of there will be more breaks for the companies who stay and higher costs for those who import from outside the country. So a company that's based here needs to produce here, which might help that. Just a thought. On taxes, my simple plan for that is everyone's flat rate 20%. Doesn't matter what position you are, doesn't matter what job you have. Some of us at the bottom end, we're paying 28% upwards. Those at the high end pay less than that by an order of magnitude. So if every single human being in this country pays a flat 20%, then we get a lot more towards our economic revenue and it actually helps our society out in general. We actually will have money for things like healthcare and education and things of that such. But moving into healthcare, universal healthcare is a right by all people, because at this rate, otherwise we're allowing ourselves to concede that if you get sick, you're just going to die. And that has not been the case forever. the ability to live and be and do well, if given the opportunity, is every human's right. Why wouldn't we make it a medical profession? That in and of itself is something that's always bothered me. Why is healthcare so expensive? Well, because people got used to it. And insurance companies make a lot of money off of people who aren't sick. And that to me is a problem in and of itself. So a part of my plan would be is insurance companies no longer exist. Universal healthcare exists under the government as a protection of its people. It's not a privatized business anymore. Taking medicine out of the private sector might help that. As far as education is concerned, my running idea about that is you take the salaries of every person who works in the Pentagon, the Congress, the White House, everywhere across our major government bands, and you switch their salaries. So people in high positions of power who actually hold some sway over what happens to their people will actively be working their ass off to try to make sure that it's done right. Otherwise, they're not going to make a very good living wage. Teachers, on the other hand, the most important people as far as the development of the youth are concerned, get paid shit. Well, not anymore. At this rate, they will get paid for the job they do. And let's face it, being a teacher is the most important job we have next to being a good healthcare provider, a competent doctor. And if you raise people with higher intelligence standards, then you get better doctors, you get better lawyers, you get better congressmen, you get better all across the board, because now you have a rational way of thinking because your teacher actually was able to give a shit and could afford to give a shit. And I agree with both candidates Stark and Willig on the idea of decensorizing or decensoring history. In and of itself, that's a massive thing we need. We need people to understand that history is dark, nasty, disgusting, and dirty. And if we don't learn from it, things only stand to get worse. Civil rights shouldn't be a conversation. It should be a part
of this. I'm so sorry, Candidate Hedum. I'm so sorry, but your time is up. I want to thank you all for laying out your plans. And now I would like to dive deeper into each segment of your plans. What I would like to do now is ask each of you a question and allow 2 minutes in which you can respond, after which each other candidate will be allowed to ask you a question about that topic and your answer.
Bye, Ron.
We will start with tax reform. The question I pose to all three of you is, what changes would you propose to make to our tax system to make it fair for all? We will start with Candidate Stark.
All right, well, to make it fair.
Hang on. The timer is not working. Okay, you may start now.
Just threw me off, man. I'm just kidding. So to make it fair for all, I do lean towards, Candidate Hedum's idea of making it even, flat rate across the board. I think that's a great idea. But for the top 1% of the upper echelon, billions of dollars, I would raise them up even a little bit more, just a couple percentage points, because honestly, that they're not going to feel it. They're not, they were in the 80s, they were up to 78%. And that was, we had a booming economy at that time. So much coke. Right. I mean, that money that they spent going up their nose could have been used for education, could have been used for civil rights reform, could have been used for immigration, could have been used for education. So I would raise them up even a little bit more, even by, what was it Elizabeth Warren said, is just another 0.2%. I mean, it was like every 2 cents on the dollar above, you know, a certain amount. And I can't remember the amount now because it's been a long time, but I used to have all that locked right here, but a lot's happened in the last 10 years of 1 year. So, yeah, that's what I would do differently, is raise that upper 1% a little bit more and leave everyone else in that mid-high, mid and lower class at that flat rate between 20 and 30. Because right now my state is at 38%.
May I?
You still have 5 seconds.
Baba Booey.
Well played. Well played.
So well played. Shit.
Candidate Willig, do you have a question for Candidate Stark regarding her tax plan?
Not about her tax plan, but I did have a question for Senator Stark. If I may be,
if it's not regarding her tax plan, we will have to save it for later.
Okay, well then kick rocks.
Hold on to that question. Write it down.
Pound sand, buddy.
Candidate Hedham. Candidate Hedham, do you have a question for Candidate Stark regarding her tax reform plan?
Oh, I thought of one. Can I ask her real quick?
I concede my time.
Yes,
to
Candidate Willig.
Oh, okay. Then I would say, what additional incentives might you offer those special members of that 1%? Because I feel that we would be getting a lot more in revenue. I feel that the least thing the government could do would then be to reciprocate in some way by offering them some form of I don't know. What would you suggest be offered as a way of recompense for them having to shoulder that much of the financial burden of our annual tax amounts? I am stalling to give Senator more time to think. She may say thank you right now.
Okay. Well, I was waiting for you to be done. So,
oh, sorry.
So my camera's freezing every now and then, so I don't know why. So if it looks like I'm just kind of staring at you, it's probably just frozen for a couple seconds. Okay. Anyway, they're not shouldering that much more of a burden. They're really not. It's very minuscule. And so I don't think they need extra incentives for that. But what I will say is that
so the senator hates the rich is basically what you're saying. Okay, great. You hate the rich.
I do not hate the rich. The rich do great things. They fund our museums and things like that. But it's not that much. So it's not so much an incentive, but there would be, say, maybe an annual audit. Like, if your annual earnings dip below this amount, then you can go down to this percentage for that year, or vice versa. But there is a cap. They're not going to go over, like say if the flat rate's 20% and they're at 22%, they're not going to go over that 22% regardless of their income. They're just taking on that extra 22.
Well, you were referring to the ultra wealthy, the 1%. Yes. Where, you know, that, though I would say that amount, again, is a clear, sizable amount, and I feel would deserve to be rewarded for in some small way. My thoughts.
Why, though?
Candidates, I must insist that we move on. Candidate Willig, same question for you. What changes would you propose to our tax system to make it fair for all?
Well, in addition to the amount collected, regardless of from where, we also need to take a comprehensive look of where these funds are going and to really understand where the importance needs to be put. A lot of times these corporations have such deep hands into the pockets of politicians. This tends to steer them away from where the importance needs to be. Education, healthcare, and one of those really bitchin' double guitars. That's like a guitar, but there's like two of them, and they both look like they're like super sharp at the one end, but they won't hurt you. But then there's like two full net, like one of those for everybody, I think would also be kind of cool. Oh, and so yeah, just to make sure that we know where the money is going. Oh, gee, there's a lot of time here with this. So, anybody watch SNL on Saturday? It was dope. It was really funny, I think. I can talk whatever the fuck I want because it's my time. You need somebody to stall. Well, I'm your man. Well, no, like I said, the money needs to be diverted to the places where it's needed most, not where it will benefit those that will benefit most. I yield the rest of my time. San Dimas High School football rule.
Candidate Stark, do you have a question for
How are you going to determine what is most important, and how will you punish those who are not tracking where their money is going properly?
Thank you very much for the question, Senator. It's a very good question. I would have to say that the answer to both of those would be the same thing, the same gentleman, actually. He goes by one name, that is Conan. Or Conan, we simply ask him, hey, Conan, what's best in life? You know, and he will tell us then. And that's where we put the money. And those who would not seek to come, they're going to fucking play ball. Okay. It's fucking Conan.
That doesn't seem like an efficient.
No, it's fucking Conan. Senator.
It doesn't seem very efficient.
Conan. Senator, so- it's Conan.
Does Conan, Conan care more about civil rights, or does
candidates
or does he care more about education?
Candidates, I must insist that we yield your time. Candidate Hedum, do you have a question for Candidate Willig?
So would you say that what is best is crushing your enemies or hearing the lamentation of the women? Which
both,
one?
Both, I'd say have importance. And both in, not only in the rewards received, but also in the morale of the of those that are beneath you, right? Those boots on the ground, the cogs of the machine that you are using to roll your empire into, you know, the next level, right?
So what I hear is Senator Willig hates women and wants to hear their lamentations.
No.
And
no,
is
no.
all against that, and wants to. These are Senator Stark's words. The universe.
Senator Stark's words. Nope. That is not. These are not the views.
I'm very sorry, candidates.
He
I
hates
must
women.
Insist that we.
Senator, I need to clarify on. That Senator Stark is
candidates,
slandering
please.
Me.
Candidates, please.
Openly. Not slander.
I must
you said
insist.
It.
I did not.
Do not make me use the mute button. Candidates, please.
Have you heard Lamentations? I mean,
candidate
have you
had
really heard it? It's fucking amazing. Just saying.
This is your
so
last
you
warning,
rape women now?
Candidate Willig.
Nope.
Candidate Stark, I must insist.
Someone's in trouble.
Candidate Hedum, same question. What changes would you propose to make to our tax system to make it fair for all? Your 2 minutes begin now.
Again, I'm going to stick with what I originally said. It would be a flat 20% across the board for each individual person in a part of this country. Additionally, now here's the other change that would need to be made. Now, companies make revenue in and of themselves, and the CEOs need to separate what they make versus what the company makes, and that has to be also taxed at the exact same rate. However, the incentive I would give to local and smaller businesses with employees ranging from, you know, zero or one to 150 or maybe even 500 employees at max, they might get taxed company-wise at a lower rate for being a small company. If you're a larger company, you're getting the flat 20. So people who are in charge of these larger corporations need to understand they need to separate what they're making versus what the company's making. And both of them are going to get hit. So at this rate, we're not only taking the 1% at the knees, but we're also taking the 1% from where they work, or rather where they don't work and they make other people work for shit wages. This is more to help the large majority. The 99% of the country is the ones that are getting screwed when it comes to tax rates. So at this rate, the only people who have to worry about it are the 1%. And I'm sorry, I'm with the candidate Stark. There needs to be no
I'm sorry,
incentive.
Too.
It's simply what it needs to be. And if I have any additional
have
time,
seconds.
San Dimas High School does rule. O'Doyle rules. I yield my time.
O'Doyle rules.
Candidate Stark, do you have a question for candidate Hedum?
Well, Well, he kind of answered it. He kind of answered it in that last portion. Being a capitalist society, companies open, they get large, or they stay small, what have you. It's, you know, something as large as, say, Nationwide. If they fold and go under, a lot of people do lose their jobs, but they also get massive amounts of bailout money. But that's the nature of companies. They open and close. They need to be allowed to close for others to rise. So I guess, would you sacrifice a lot of funds to keep these large companies open, or would you let them risk it? Because it's an inherent risk to open a business either way, big, medium, or small. Or would you let them fold?
Me personally, if I was to consider the risk factor of opening a business, and honestly, I have, that inherent risk of whether or not you're going to go under or not is always relevant. It's always something that's going to be there, whether you're the CEO or just an assistant lead or anything like that. So I'm going to say I would let them fold, because at that rate, you open the door for these other fellows who've been trying to make a name for themselves or try to run their own business, but again, can't swing it against the big dogs. So if the big companies do fall in, you knew better. You had advisors, you had people on your side that were there to help stop that from happening. If it happens, I'm sorry, it's time to make way for somebody new. And that's when you get more local businesses. That's when you get more boom in community in general. So I would let them fall.
Candidate Willig, do you have a question for Candidate Hedum?
I do indeed. Senator Hedum, how do you define a small business?
I would say any company that has less than, I'm going to say, 1,000 employees.
Less than 1,000 employees. Now, what's the average height these employees need to maintain at your elitist company, Senator Hedum? Ballpark it if you have to. Ballpark it. I know it's hard to trivialize a human being, but apparently you seem to be able to do so with just a quick ballparking of a number.
I'm going to say anywhere between 1 foot and 15 foot, because let's face it, that's a hazardous work environment for anybody outside of that parameter.
Okay. What about a company wherein the...
I'm sorry to cut you
off.
I have several
other points I need to make. Clearly, Mr. Hedum has a problem with little people.
I am sorry, but we must move on.
Yes, some people just don't care about the rules.
What about little people who are making a lot of money and but they live in a shoe? What about them?
Candidate Willig, this is your final warning.
Here's hoping they didn't have to finance the shoe.
Candidate Hedum,
thank you.
This is also your final warning.
Wait, did
I'd like to turn now to education.
I was just okay.
We'd like to turn to education. I would ask each of you, what improvements would you make to our education system, and how would you hold teachers accountable for the success of their students? Candidate Willig, we will start with you. Your time begins now.
Here we go.
How much time do I have?
2 minutes.
2 minutes. Okay.
Less than 2 minutes.
How would I make teachers accountable for the success of their students? Well, again, by giving them the proper information, the proper tools to use. None of this bullshit math. Give them. I'm surprised I have to say this. Give them math like it's supposed to fucking be. Not this wackadoo shit. Also, bring back music. Bring back the arts. Bring back the child's ability to be creative. If a child can't be creative, then the child is basically just being built to do one thing and one thing only, and that's don't ask questions. Stay inside the box, stay safe, and don't ever, ever, ever try to be anything more than what we're trying to shape you into. When you strip children of these basic needs, then you're stripping them of aspects of their personality that they can have to work very difficult to get back. They might even become juggalos. These are things that we need to keep safe from our children. I yield the rest of my time. Also, San Dimas High School football does, in fact, rule. O'Doyle rules, but you're going down, O'Doyle.
Truth.
I got a feeling.
Candidate Stark, do you have any questions for Candidate Willig on his education plan?
You might want to pick up that mic. I kind of dropped it. Whoa.
It was very good. I support what you just said. What types of arts would you bring back? What specifically, other than music, is there anything else you would bring back?
Yo, finger painting was kind of dope.
True.
Yo, we had this clay shit, right? When I was in school, it wasn't like regular clay. Like, it was this dope-ass clay. I want to get that dope-ass clay back.
The dope-ass clay, all right.
No, painting, music, theater, things that allow a child's mind to expand beyond more than what the fundamentals of existence are, so that they can explore who they are as a person and therefore mm-hmm. allow them to better the world around them. Ooh, I'm on fire tonight. Oh. Thank you, Mr. January. I'm sorry, Mr. July.
Mr. Hedham, do you have a question for Candidate Willig?
In addition to the arts, what other types of classes would you bring back? Would you consider the idea of bringing back things like shop classes, woodworking, metalworking, automotive, things like that? Although that feeds the industrial complex, would those not also quantify as art classes? And would you be okay with bringing those such things back?
Absolutely. In addition, I feel certain fundamentals should be held across the boards as well. Things such as home economics, how to balance a checkbook, how to properly budget for groceries, for bills, for emergencies. Children these days just seem to look at their parents as this dispensing of funds without any understanding of the work that is required to make it until they're already thrown into something that they're not prepared for. So the trades are most definitely considered part of the arts as far as I'm concerned.
Good enough.
Candidate Hedham?
Curious what that smell is. That's me on the shit.
Fair enough.
Candidate Hedham, same question. What improvements would you make to our education system, and how would you hold teachers accountable for the success of their students? Your time begins now.
Again, my overall plan to make teachers value, monetarily speaking, would increase that importance in the respects that if you pay a teacher well, they're more inclined to do a better job by default. If they don't, then it's just as easy of a job to lose as it was to gain, in the respects that if you go to school for it, that's paid for. Because honestly, the whole idea of paying for college, higher learning, and higher education is bullshit. But as far as keeping teachers accountable, that unfortunately, there really isn't an easy way to do. In the respects, they tried standardized testing in order to try to see a baseline of where everyone is. And let's be honest, standardized testing doesn't work. So everyone learns in a different way. Everyone learns in a different path, and certain synapses don't fire in the right directions for some as they do for others. And because of that, you can't really necessarily look at them as a standard product of what they're doing so much as you can see it in the students that they produce, the minds that they open up, the intelligence that is gained from it. If a teacher constantly gets, you know, things like Teacher of the Year award, it's usually because they were a big fucking sweetheart and worked really hard to be a personal teacher with you. Not always necessarily that they were scholastically the best. So it's really hard to hold accountable any more than we could hold accountable for any other job that we have. Additionally, I do also agree with the candidate Willig that I would also bring back the arts in a large scale, because honestly, let's face it, if you got music and a good teacher going with you, the likelihood of you doing better scholastically speaking and intelligence wise is higher by default, because you're actively wanting to be at school rather than it being a job. So I agree with a lot of what.
Candidate Hedham, I do have to cut you off. Your time has expired. Does either candidate have a question for Candidate Hedham?
I do.
Fire on.
Senator Candidate Hedham, first of all, boss hair, as always.
Thank you.
I'm curious where you feel the level of responsibility, maybe the percentage of responsibility that the parents shoulder in the educational process, and what would you make available to the parents as a way of making their job easier, if anyway?
Well, that's really tough because honestly, I mean, the role of the parent has always been to be the parent, to be the responsible one who's supposed to know better and help their child through tough times. And that being said, in the respects of the education system, the best thing you can offer is, you know, when the parents have to go to work, because let's face it, parents have to work during those times, daycare is a part of the education system. And essentially you don't start kindergarten at 5, you start it whenever the hell the parents need to get off maternity leave to return back to work. For whatever time they're at work, one of the parents are at the work or both, whatever, depending on how it works, that's when the kid is basically in school. And although base learning fundamentals at that age are pretty much null and void, you can also establish a caring environment for the child and not have to come out of the pocketbook of the parent. Because at that rate, if you fund education, you can fund it from the beginning of life until they're legally an adult. We've basically made it really difficult for parents to be able to manage the two. And then when they come home, they're like, fuck, now I gotta go pick them up from daycare, shit like that. And it's like, God, they don't learn anything because they're just doing nothing. At this rate, the education system would extend downward all the way to the beginning of life. It's like, hey, you're getting off maternity leave. Sign them up. They're ready to go. Here we go. And in overly funding the education system and overly extending how much the salaries are for this, the parents, or for the teachers, rather, it makes it a little less stressful on the parent worrying about how they're going to afford daycare so much as, no, they're getting something while I can't give that to them. And then when I get home, that's when the responsibility takes back over. Okay, now it's time for me to show them some things. Time for me to teach them things that maybe they haven't learned yet. You know, and that's the core fundamentals of parenting in general. But at the same time, the education system should be there to back them up while their child is in that pivotal development stages. And that includes being in a safe environment from as early on until they're an illegal adult. So that was my thought.
We would have also accepted have programs available for them if they wanted to further education, but satisfactory answer. Very well done.
Thank you, sir.
So while I agree with the idea of making daycare part of the education system, because there are daycares that do early learning,
right?
Daycare prices are fucking outrageous.
If you want a good one.
Even the bad ones are outrageous. My goodness. My friend's kid used to come home with food all over him and she was still paying $500 a month. And that's a cheap one.
Hold on. Let's go back and think about what you just said. The kid came home with food all over them. I believe the words you're looking for. Thank you for the extra food.
The kid came home dirty all the time. And it wasn't her fault, but this woman, it was an older woman, there's not a lot, some places there's not a lot of regulation. People can get away with a lot of stuff opening a daycare. So how would you regulate it and how would you fund it?
Again,
candidates, we are getting off topic, I am afraid. And we are also running out of time. I would like to give each of you 1 minute to give closing statements.
My education piece. They got 2 minutes on education.
I'm very sorry. You can blame candidate Willig for taking.
Well, it was a lot of time away. I agree with these guys on all that shit anyway. So,
damn,
but
right.
Troops to Teachers program needs to be better funded. Troops to Teachers program.
Word.
I would like to start with candidate Stark. You have 1 minute for your closing statements beginning
Alrighty,
now.
So everything we've covered today, and I'm assuming we're going to have a second debate covering economy and education. We have some differing opinions. You know, Senator Willig does not like women. He wants Conan to make them lament their lives and become
Untrue.
Ruler of the universe.
Untrue.
So I think we can all agree that that's something that's not equality. That's not going to boost our economy. That's not going to further our education. Fear does not do that. Support does. So great support systems, access to education, access to internet, and better programs for entrepreneurship. That is all.
Very well said, Candidate Stark. Candidate Hedum, your time begins now.
Fair enough. In closing, honestly, again, I do tend to agree with the Candidate Stark and Willig, although Willig is a little off kilter at points, but we won't get into that. One of the things that I want to make blatantly clear, though, is civil rights should not be something we have to talk about. It should just be. I know it's not, but it needs to be. And that also comes down to, you know, understanding that the position of power needs to be able to be looking out for their people more than themselves. They need to be looking out for the mass of us, not the individuals or the small groups even, because that's not the position that needs to be in power. And understanding that, we'll move forward a lot easier if more people will understand that we're in it together a hell of a lot more than we are in it for ourselves. And sadly, we live in a society that does not communicate that very
clearly. My apologies, Candidate Hedum. I must cut you off. Candidate Willig, your final thoughts. Your time begins now.
Well, I ain't got to say shit. I crushed this, man. I mean, these motherfuckers didn't know what the fuck just took place. But you know what? I ain't got to address shit, but I'm going to address shit. First fuck of all, Senator Stark needs to understand. Yeah, we agree and disagree. I agree with the facts. She disagrees with reality. So, no, I do not hate women. I love women. I respect women a whole lot, enough to let you know that you are incorrect. I'm not calling you a liar. How you choose to self-identify as outside of my sphere of control. Now, in regards to Mr. Conan, thank you. It is my time, Senator. In regards to Conan, I respect him in that he will get the job done, and I support that he has ability to cleave someone in twain. So I don't live in fear of him. I just know what the fuck the motherfucker's capable of. So you want to say some shit to him, feel free. Otherwise, I say keep his name out your mouth. My name is Jim. I'm running for president. This motherfucker, hit me up. You know
Senator
where I'm at.
Willig also loves violence. So there you go.
No, I don't. I don't.
Would very much like to thank Conan our candidates once again for a civil and respectful debate that mostly
don't
stayed
talk
on track
about motherfucking Conan, girl.
And allowed the Not Another Podcast audience a chance to hear each candidate's plan for their administration, as well as given an example to our current politicians of what it means to disagree and yet still respect one another and work to find common fucking ground.
I disagree.
Unless, of course, the shit went horribly wrong, in which case this is what our nation has become, and I am truly ashamed. This has been our first Not Another Podcast presidential debate. I am James Robinson. Thank you all for tuning in. Good night.
I won this bitch, and you know it.
Kiss my dick.
OC for president.
Thank you for listening to Not Another Podcast. There are so many places for you to find us outside of www.notanotherpodcast.com. For instance, you can find us on Facebook at Not Another Podcast. You can also find us on Tumblr at www.notanotherpodcast.tumblr.com. You can also find me, Samantha Stark, on Twitter at SamanthaStark3. And you can find James on Twitter as well under James Spooky, spelled with an I-E, not A-Y. And you wanted it, you asked for it, you got it. You can also find us now on iTunes under, you guessed it, Not Another Podcast. We'll talk to you soon. Peace out, Not Another Podcasters.